Do it. You, Brian, you do it again. do your impression of me. There you go. That'll be it. And welcome to the to the Brian Taylor Corn Podcast. My name is...
Hey.
This is the Cuba Corn Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morabito. We're going to chill out for a little bit here and kind of just talk about stuff and things. Joining me via the internet, Brian Taylor's here.
That's me, last time I checked.
It's been a little bit. It's been a hot second.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. World is still crazy and weird. Like, in America, yeah. I guess better than things have been to some extent, but still weird.
Improving.
Yeah, improving, right, on the upswing, at least as far as horrific disease is concerned for the moment.
I'm leaving my bunker anytime soon.
I can ask you about that. Lorraine will probably join us in a second. She's off doing household things right this moment. But anyway, how has your routine been? How things have you mostly been? Because we haven't done a ton of shit. We've gone out to eat like once or twice, but with family. But for the most part, we haven't done anything super out there.
I've only eaten at one restaurant when I met Lorraine's dad and stepmom. We went, we were out in,
Wait, you mean...
Forgetting.
Not Lorraine's. The words are... yes.
I don't know why I said... I think I said Lorraine because you're...
Because I said Lorraine. Said yeah. Lorraine is here now.
She does,
I say Lorraine does not have a stepmom. Anyway, no. Go on, Brooke.
When I met Brooke's dad and, stepmom, we were out, I'm trying to remember, it's like southwest of like Saline, Ann Arbor area.
Okay. Yeah, my cousins used to live out there.
We went to a Mexican restaurant and they had an outdoor patio with like, I don't know, it was like four or five tables, but they weren't super close together or anything. So I was pretty comfortable. And we were all vaccinated at that point for a couple of weeks, so... It was pretty decent, but I am still in the camp of like I'm gonna get takeout if I can, or even more likely right now I'm in the camp of I'm going to smoke a bunch of meats in my backyard and they're gonna be delicious, and that's my cooking, that's my food.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Lorraine
had some chickens I made over the weekend. I turned them into tacos and they were delicious.
Nice. Lorraine, how have you been so far in our, just like, how have you fared? I don't know, holistically, mentally, in terms of the times we've been out in the public. Cause it is still just like a weird, you know, there's still technically in many ways, a lot of uncertainty, and it's still like, even if you're fully confident, even if you are fully confident that things are going to keep going on the up from here on out, it's still a huge adjustment period. If you assume that like, it just takes some getting used to like get back into any kind of sense of the life before a pandemic.
I'm not there.
Well, like I said, how are you doing, Lorraine? In the times we've been out, like with your grandparents, your sister for her birthday and stuff.
Asked a question, then talked for like 30 minutes.
I made it a longer question.
Yeah, you did. I mean, it's been fine. I was glad, like when we went out with my grandparents, I'm glad that we went when it wasn't very busy, because it didn't seem like they were really spacing people out, and that was an inside place.
Mm-hmm.
And then with last night or whatever, it was a little crowded, but we were outside, so that did make me feel a little bit better. And at least when you're like at a restaurant, like you're generally not facing people who aren't in your party, so that's not as bad. It was still a little tight. So I don't know. I mean, I'm fine, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious. Yeah, and again, everybody we've also interfaced with. Everybody we've met personally and like all our family members and stuff that we've done these things with have been fully vaccinated, you know, including ourselves. But
the best eating experience that I have had inside of a restaurant since the shutdown has been that Taco Bell when it was literally just us and the employees.
Yeah, right. That wasn't it. Yeah,
was
that was
super
nice.
Chill. Uh-huh. It was just our group of six idiots. And we were the
way
only
Taco
people...
Bell was meant to be.
Exactly.
That's right.
Except it's...
Me and six idiots.
Except now it's it's the Taco Bell that we had frequented out by Phil and them has been taken. and it is no longer the cheerful Taco Bell. Yeah, I think the darkest timeline Taco Bells are now everywhere.
Renovated pretty much all of them. Like every single Taco Bell now looks like a. It looks like the cheap restaurant equivalent of like an app in a post-apocalyptic dystopian society where all your activities are monitored. So, you know, 2021, I guess, but like they just went full.
We were seeing that shit back in like.
Yeah, it feels like entering an authoritarian state when you go into these like minimum color, minimum.
It's all gray. Right. Everything minimum is chrome in the future.
Minimum roundness. Yeah, it's all right. Exactly.
Heart angles.
It's very square.
It's monochrome right angles. That's what Taco Bell is now.
Where are my round booths where all of us can sit? They don't exist anymore.
The natural world has been. Removed entirely from Taco Bell.
I feel that way about like McDonald's too, because
I couldn't tell you by my house. I was in a McDonald's.
By my parents' house. I remember they did like a big renovation on one, and then all of a sudden I started noticing like a bunch of other McDonald's looking just like it.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, "Oh, this is like a fancy new McDonald's," like. But then I was looking around. I'm like, now even like the 60s McDonald's or whatever by my house is like the same way, except for kind of like the sign.
Okay. Yeah. Like what I said.
If I say the word magic McDonald's, do you know which one I'm talking about?
I know which
one
you're talking about.
I don't.
Telegraph
or something?
Telegraph and Goddard, I think, is where it was. It was like. It was
highly themed McDonald's.
It was themed around like a magician, like a street magician.
It was like the 50s ones, but like even a little more elaborate than that.
There were like statues.
I think I know where it is.
Like of McDonald's. It was themed towards those McDonald's Land's characters. And
did it have like a ball pit?
No, it didn't have a play area. It was just a pretty big McDonald's with all of these themed things in it. And like, I think this happened while I was in high school. It changed to like a fancy McDonald's. Like there was maybe like a Panera style like fireplace inside, and it was really like it was nice looking on the inside, but rip the
Panera's
magic.
Have a fireplace?
Some of them do.
Yeah, the one by our house does.
The one
has
does,
a
the
weird
one in
tiny
like,
little fireplace.
The Rensen does.
Interesting.
That one by where Kyle lives had an even bigger one, I think. Because, like, like, the one by our house is, like, only faces the one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would find at a home. And that one and that other one was, like, 360, like...
The one in the Rensen is
two
sides.
Sit near the fire at any angle. Yeah.
There's two sides to that.
I haven't been to a Panera in a while.
I mean, same. But,
nothing against Panera.
No, Panera's good. I like Panera. I was going to say something else. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Is it about McDonald's? Or magic?
Fast food.
I think it was about I don't remember anymore.
Oh, okay.
They renovated that Arby's for the better because its drive-thru was on the wrong side.
Yeah, well, it doesn't flow the wrong way anymore.
Yeah.
It's,
Arby's drive-thru was awful.
Yeah, right.
It was so
bad. You used to have to, if you were in your own car alone, you used to have to reach across the passenger seat to interact with the drive-thru window.
Giant-ass fucking basket.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
The, like, pool skimmer basket.
They were ready for COVID before COVID.
It's true. Arby's, always thinking ahead.
That's what they say about Arby's.
Uh-huh.
Ahead of their time.
But I mean, like, slightly reeling it back to Taco Bell, like, we were seeing that change, like, God, when was Metacross a thing?
I mean, 2017
years ago,
to 2018.
4 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
Like, because that Taco Bell was closed while we were going to Eternal regularly.
Oh,
and
right. Yeah,
changed.
The one across the street.
That was the first one I ever saw.
Just Del Taco or nothing. Which is
I mean,
not the worst thing ever.
If it's good enough for garlic,
different.
It's good enough for you. That's what the playmat says. So it's not like I made the playmat or anything. I did. But that's irrelevant.
It's a beautiful playmat. Yeah, anything else going on, Lorraine, that you want to share personally? Like I said, how's your vibe at work going? About the same? Still just kind of like, you know.
It's fucking busy today. It was so
still
busy.
A little was this school groups and stuff or like
no.
Every
it
time
was
it's
families.
Every time it's wall to wall busy on like not a Friday, not on a weekend. That seems weird to me.
Well,
because I guess people are just
school is like out, Dustin, for the most part.
You know, I guess you're right. Yeah,
but like
the summer
season
is
so many families. Like, because generally, like, during, at least, I mean, like, it's harder to tell this year just because this, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everything's weird. We haven't been, like, open the entire time we've been open. But, like, the past few weeks, on a Thursday, it would, like, climb for most of the morning, like, busyness-wise. Be pretty steady and, like, kind of up for a while. Then, like, maybe one or two would slowly peter out. And then we wouldn't see people for, like, maybe the last hour to 45 minutes, or we'd see one or two. Today, we had, like, three different big groups of people coming at, like, 4:30.
That's crazy. That is a little crazy.
And it, like, there was, it was nonstop. We had maybe, like, 10 minutes here or there for a break. I think one of the other guys there, he was like, yeah, we didn't have a, like, actual lull until, like, 12:30 today or something like that. Like, it was busy. It was so exhausting.
That's crazy.
Although, it is so much today.
Yeah. Although, when you say that, like I said, I never keep track of that, like, in my mind, even though I know that's true, because I know Dad has finally time off again. Mm-hmm. For, maybe forever. Maybe he's finally retired now. We'll find out come September.
He should just stop.
He
should stop.
But, yeah, I never, like, I haven't been in school in a long time. We don't have children at this point. Like, when summer exists for kids is like, I just don't keep track of it.
I have grandkids who've been telling me about that stuff. And one of my coworkers' daughters, she's a teacher. So she's like, oh yeah, she's out of school now. And like, so are the kids and people are doing stuff. But it was so busy.
I'm with you, Dustin.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, I'm not taking pride or shame in that. I'm just stating it as a fact that, like, it's just not one of the things that I bother to keep track of. Yeah.
I mean, ignorance is bliss.
Oh. But anyway.
It's even worse now, because at least when I worked in an office and I commuted every day, it's like, oh my, traffic is all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Improved.
But now you don't even have that indicator, right?
Now it's like, wait, why are there kids riding bikes down my street? You should be in school, but I don't care. I'm not your parent.
I'm not your dad.
That's right. I'm not moonlighting as a truancy officer. It's fine. You want
to speak for yourself?
Cut class.
I'm a side job. Man. Anyway. I'm a hall monitor of the streets.
$10 a month to
citizens
narc on.
Arrest.
I get paid per kid. It's like there's an app for that. It's per the gig economy. It's like every 10-year-old you bring in, you get $2.86. I'm trying surge pricing. Yeah.
The rates.
That's right.
Senior skip day, my ass.
Anyway, yeah, I just
turning
wanted
you in
wanted,
for $5.
Wanted to check in, Lorraine. Get your.
It's gonna get weird.
Day to day life 101. I've been.
What is that?
I've been about the same. I've been trying to just keep working out a bunch of stuff. Right now, I'm kind of in the mode of just trying to do game stuff and some video things still at some point. We'll get to that someday.
Video man.
But anyway, like I said, I don't really have anything personally to report on myself. But Brian, I wanted to ask you, what was up with your thing? What is your share for the class? What is your personal revelation?
Would you like to make a guess?
No, because I feel not that I'm not. It's not that I'm not interested. I just feel like that's like a. I feel like that's a trap. But that it like never set expectations. It's.
What if I said that it was video game related?
Oh, okay. Then
you have PS5.
Then, yeah, that's much different. Yeah, I would say that would have been right. Did you get a next gen thing?
Oof, she's close.
Xbox.
So after reviewing a bunch of E3 footage and whatnot, as much as I thought I was going to end up with a PS5, I decided that I think an Xbox Series X is more in line with what I want. And today, my brother sent me this screenshot, and it was like, there's an Xbox Series X available in Jackson. And screenshot was like, 30 almost 30 minutes old, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go check anyway, because screw it, like, if I can get my hands on one with that all access pass, I will drive out to Jackson. Like, I'm willing to. And I signed, like, I didn't, I wasn't signed in. I just started to go through the process and they're like, you're approved and all this other junk.
Okay.
And it was like Southland. I was like, sweet.
Nice. I say, yeah, you saved yourself a good
closer.
Hour.
And
hour
then
or so.
I go to check out and it's like, error.
No.
And I was like, oh no. So I completely backed out.
Uh-huh.
And I went back in and started the process over. And it was like, we've got one for you at Allen Park. And I was like, sweet, it's even closer.
It keeps improving.
It airs out again, up, Brian. And it's just like, surprise,
I'm getting it Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Nice. That's cool. Awesome. Very cool. Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. That's super
neat. I love a bunch of, like, the exclusives and stuff. And I know that PlayStation's going to have a few, and I still will probably want a PS5 at some point. But
sure, and you can get, like, one at your leisure. Just to, like, you know, someday there'll be a thing you want to play on it. And God willing, they'll be just freely available. And just
was the PS5
stroll to Target or whatever and buy
one. The one that was going to have that cat game where there's, like, robots?
Yeah, but that hasn't been in.
I know.
Yes, that was a PS5
that
trailer thing.
That was the
thing.
Only thing I was interested
that
in.
That cat with that backpack.
Yeah, you were like a cat and you're living in a world with robots and I don't know anything else about it, but I need it.
Uh-huh. But this is the perfect segue to get us into our core conversation, which we haven't done in a while, honestly. So, which is part of the reason I wanted to do this. Just talk about games a little bit. But, yeah, like my whole vibe from this last couple weeks has been that it's been like, all right, Sony, like their decision to not have.
Coming out strong.
Well, and their decision to not have anything, like they were like because tons of companies are technically sitting out of whatever E3 is now.
Yeah.
Like Nintendo's thing isn't specifically a part of E3, but they still do a presentation around when the video game news happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Sony was just like, no, we're just gonna, you know what we're gonna announce? Jack and shit. Tune in someday and we'll tell you more about the products we're releasing.
Weird new direction for the Jack and Daxter franchise, but okay.
That's right. That's the new reboot.
Wow.
It's Jack and the Poop Emoji.
No.
Emoji
movie crossover.
But yeah, to, like,
to Sony
just
property.
Watch them like completely set out that whole news cycle and just let Microsoft Bummer. Announce a bunch of shit and Nintendo announce a bunch of shit and they're just like, whatever. It just seemed really strange to me.
I mean, to be fair, I personally have no interest in anything that was shown at E3, so...
Not one thing? Not one?
I told you that the other day. There's nothing in any of the stuff that I watch that I'm like, oh my god, I need to play this.
Not even the, like, because I'm, like, tentatively... Like, I'm there with you in some ways. I'm tentatively interested in stuff like, Breath of the Wild 2, but that trailer was so ephemeral that,
yeah,
like,
it doesn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not a product.
Yeah, if you're not counting things like that,
yeah, no.
Then I get that 100%.
That was like, this is basically the equivalent of like the original Breath of the Wild trailer that wasn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, cool. Like, there was no gameplay. There was no, like, it was
no
a,
protracted.
There was no proof of concept.
Yeah, right.
It's
just, it
was like,
just
look at these visuals.
Right, the
wow.
Lightest little taste of what might be in that final product.
Can you consider this?
That's fair. Let me think that, what else was I going to say? Brian, you can lead us off then with if there was anything in particular game-wise that, well, I mean, it must have been something because you decided you wanted to bite the bullet and finally get an Xbox, but if there were like one or two things that caught your interest, what were they over the course of just like games being announced or trailers being released for stuff that's going to be out in the not too distant future?
I mean, the two that excited me the most, and they're not even necessarily Xbox exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Elden Ring, because I haven't played a Souls game in a while.
Okay.
And I've liked the franchise. I played.
Watched you play a decent amount of that on stream, even.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, don't judge me, because I haven't actually finished one, but I've played well into 2 and 3. And I tried to play 1, but the problem was I played it after 2, and 2 had these, like, quality of life improvements, and I was just like, I can't go back.
That first game's old.
Yeah.
First Dark Souls
too much.
Old.
Yeah, that's fair. And honestly, I feel like that's like a, like, I feel like that is a thing that's kind of about those games that applies to a ton of people, not even just people like me. Like, I am a chronic game not finisher.
Nope.
Like, that's just a... I finish way fewer games than I ever play. Uh-huh. But I feel like with Souls games, I feel like it's actually not super uncommon for people to not finish them. Because you just play it, you know...
They hog.
Because all the Souls games I played, I put a lot of time into them. Like, I probably put 20 or more hours into each of them. And then just at some point, you either hit a wall that you can't overcome in, like, one or two play sections. And you fall off of it. Or you keep grinding through whatever that wall is and eventually get through it and complete it. But for me, it's always kind of been the latter. Just like there was one boss fight or one whatever that was like,
yeah,
I just can't quite deal with this. And then by the time I would have gotten around to it, it's like, oh, now I forgot what all my abilities were and where my like upgrades were spent and what I was doing. And then I just never end up going back. But that isn't to say that usually when I personally don't finish games, it's some combination of getting distracted and like, getting just disinterested in what was happening in the game. And for soul stuff, it's usually just like, well, I hit like a functional brick wall, like I just can't necessarily get through this one thing, but I'm satisfied with the time I had here. Like I don't regret playing up to this point. Like I enjoyed the time I spent in this world, and you know, that's good enough for me.
With me, it was always like in 2 and 3 I got to the point where I had like one more boss, and then I think like kind of the final boss area.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where I was having trouble, and then like life would just get in the way, and I'd be like, well, I've got to put this down for now, and the next time I think about getting back to it, it's like a month later, and I'm like, my muscle memory is gone.
Like the amount of grinding, exactly, the amount of grinding you need to do just to get into shape to like make runs that are like approaching successful at that thing is like, all right, I got another 2 weeks of this. Like, if I'm gonna really get into shape to finish this battle.
And at that point, I'm just like, I think I'm okay with going to a different game now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I 100% agree.
I'm really looking forward to that one. I think it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to like how much more explicitly narrative driven or not that game will be, because that's the one that is George R. R. Martin's name on it too, which, you know.
I'm curious about it, but if it's like any other Souls game, I'm gonna guess not.
Right, because that's the thing, is like Souls games are notorious for having lore, but not what I would call like narrative. Mm-hmm. Like they don't have like A to B to C story beats. There's just a lot going on in the universe that you can pick up, by inspecting stuff and reading stuff after the fact.
Given his track record, maybe this is the perfect thing for George R. R. Martin to get into, because it doesn't necessarily need to have a written ending. It can just be
sure,
bits
make your
and
own
pieces here and there.
Gets 80% of the story done, and then it's whatever you choose, man, as the player.
Yeah, like he could just write a bunch of tooltips for daggers and rings and bullshit, and then just be like...
See, okay. that would be the best possible outcome, is if he was writing like the lore cards for the gear. All right, I'd be done with that.
Doesn't have to write a story. He could give the barest bare bone skeleton, which is kind of what you get in a Souls game for the story, and then you just kind of like fill in the pieces with stuff from the world, stuff you do, and then just loading screen tips. So okay. There we go.
There you go. You got it.
So he'll write the intro, mm-hmm. get everybody hooked.
And then peace
out.
It's
all gameplay after that.
Gotta push that rating all the way up to an M if it isn't already. This is gonna be the first Souls game with full frontal nudity. So many dongs.
It's a boss fight.
You're instead of like the loincloth for the
right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fully unarmored,
it'll be
guy. You're just completely nude.
It'll be like a Ghouls and Ghosts thing, where instead of being in your aren't underpants,
well,
you'll just actually
be
naked.
You can do that in Souls games. Like, you can just have armorless runs where you just have, like, crude underwear on. But I'm just saying, just
fast.
Forget it. Just none of that. It's just, it's all there.
Mm-hmm. but yeah, that's
delightful.
Cool. I agree. I am, like, theoretically interested in that game.
The other thing, Brian?
Yeah, what was the other thing that piqued your interest?
I mean, there's 4 or 5 of them on my radar. But the other one for me that's like really big is Outer Worlds 2.
Mm. Okay, that was going to be a thing that I was going to mention. It was just a curiosity that like, yeah, I've heard really good things about that first game generally, that for the most part people liked it. I haven't played it myself.
If you like games like Fallout and stuff like that, I would say it's probably up your alley. And it's, I think the thing that I really liked about it, besides like the story and the universe that you're in and, you know, the quirkiness and stuff, it's like it's kind of like that Fallout feel, but it's also like, it's not super open-ended or open world or anything. It's like, it's more, it's a little more on rails. Like you're following a story more closely.
Mm-hmm.
And
the trailer gave me big Borderlands vibes, which is kind of the same thing, like what you're describing kind of story-wise, because there was like sort of an open world, but you were really on like a story path basically through it.
I feel like even Borderlands is a little more open world, though. Okay. But it's, I don't know, it's just really interesting, and it's concise. It's like this is going to take you like 30, 40 hours, and you're going to enjoy this little, you know, romp in this universe, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great for what it was, and I'm really looking forward to another one.
Brian, can you refresh my memory if you remember? Were the Obsidian guys, did they do New Vegas, or was that...
They did.
Okay, because that's what I thought was the case.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, and I know a lot of... I never played New Vegas, but I know a lot of people also share that opinion. But as far as I'm concerned, they're the fucking... At this point in time, unless otherwise proven wrong, they are the real, like, quote-unquote Fallout studio these days.
Well, it's, like, it's still Bethesda.
Because I was going to just oppose that Outer Worlds thing with the... They had that very, very brief little Starfield teaser, which, you know, I'm guessing is just Fallout in space, unless it's not. But like, at this point, that was such a non... Like, that was even less than the Breath of the Wild thing of, like, it was zero gameplay and just, like... Basically a vibe check. Like, you get in a spaceship and go to space.
Well, and that was one of the things for me that I definitely would have picked up on eventually was I hadn't really thought about the whole Microsoft buying Bethesda thing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Bethesda does make a lot of, like, my favorite games. Games that I go back to and play, you know, sometimes multiple times, like Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I played through Fallout 4, and then, like, a year or so, you know, a year or two later, I got a bunch of the DLC and played it again during the beginning of quarantine, you know, and spent a buttload of time with it. Those, you know, they make a lot of those games that I tend to go back to, and then when I saw that Starfield was going to be Xbox and PC exclusive, I was like, This they might get me here. Like, I'm like, Xbox has already showed me a bunch of stuff, and that's why I wanted to get one. But that's just kind of the icing on the cake. Is I love a lot of Bethesda games, and at least now I know I'm not gonna have to worry about missing out on one because I don't have a powerful enough PC or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, that's good to know for sure. And again, that game to me, like I said, I'm just kind of like. Like, personally, in all odds, I probably won't play any of these, but just from a pure spectator's perspective, I feel like Starfield has a lot more to prove to me than, like I kind of trust the Obsidian guys at this point, just based on how their recent projects have turned out, to put out a thing that is, like, that works and is generally, like, right. Well-received. But the last couple of things from Bethesda on the Fallout front, like, Fallout 4 took a while to come out, and P was, like, kind of lukewarm at best. Like, people didn't seem to be super digging it. And then Fallout 76 came out, and it was basically a lie that they charged $60 for. So, I'm not exactly ready to jump right back on the bandwagon of trusting them to make a competent product until they prove that they've done so. So, like, I hope Starfield is good when it releases, but, like, I am in no way giving them the benefit of the doubt until they, like... put up with content at this point.
I am hoping it will be like the net. Like, I expect them to eventually do another Fallout game, but I'm hoping it will be the next kind of true Fallout style successor.
Yeah, that'd be fingers crossed that they will deliver something worth checking out. But yeah, like I said, I just feel like those Obsidian guys, if they've been like. Slowly but surely, like, releasing a bunch of stuff over the last 10 years or whatever, and most of it was, like, they put out those South Park games. Those were all right.
I played a whole bunch of Neverwinter Nights, which was some of their earlier stuff, and that, like, they had me on board at that point. And then when they did New Vegas, I was just like, oh, I love you. Stay with me.
Let me think. What was I going to say? Lorraine, is there anything, just to kick it back over to you before I throw a thing or two out there, is there anything either that you remember in the world of games that you're interested in that wasn't talked about? There was that. I'm going to look up the name of that cat game.
Yeah.
I'm going to type pet cat game PlayStation and see what comes up. But is there anything else just in the, like I said, if nothing else, I'm kind of just in the mindset of like, I just want to look forward to stuff. Even like, I'm trying to divorce my feelings about reemerging into the physical world of the pandemic and just be like, all right, at least movies are going to come out again. And like that shit's happening. Like all the HBO stuff is still coming out. Like, so is there anything on your mind, even if it's outside of the realm of video games, but that you're just kind of like anticipating?
I mean, I know we had kind of talked about this on the PSN chat after the Nintendo Day or whatever, but I'm still like, it doesn't have any date or anything, but there is still that like Digimon Survive game, which is basically like a Digimon Final Fantasy Tactics that was supposed to come out in like 2019, got pushed back to 2020. Lo and behold, pushed back to 2021. Yeah, got
pushed back out of 2020 because, you know.
It doesn't have, as far as I'm aware, a solid release date or anything. There hasn't been anything new for a while. But that's also happened before with like Digimon games in the more recent time. They just kind of happen eventually, and this pandemic definitely didn't help. Because I know that was supposed to be like a, at least on the Switch, and maybe a few other platforms too. They've been pretty good about putting them on a lot of places. But honestly, like, there hasn't really been anything else that I'm interested in. Like, I don't care about the Diamond and Pearl remakes at all. I've heard some pretty bad things about that Arceus game, like from trailers and stuff. Like, it runs like shit, and they still haven't really shown anything super stable. So, like, I was already kind of like only mildly interested in that, and don't want to play something that I don't want to give Game Freak my money just for no reason if it looks like it's a bad game. But like, there isn't anything really like big that's on my radar. Like, I don't know.
Stray is what that game is called, which is a good name for a,
you're a, cat a game with where a you're backpack. A cat. It looks cute. You live like in a robot world for some reason. I want to know more. Hi.
There were a couple things that I'm legit interested to play, and a couple things that just piqued my interest. The big ones were, for me, I really liked the footage that they finally showed again from Halo Infinite. And it's been a very long time since I played Halo. Like, we've been playing a bunch of Destiny recently, but in terms of actually playing Halo, it's been a hot second. But
figured that might draw you in.
Yeah, the multiplayer stuff looked kind of neat. And all the abilities and everything, and the fact that that it's like free to play is kind of smart, I think. Like, I think if you can afford to do that for multiplayer stuff, you might as well go ahead and do it these days, just to get the potential for the widest player base possible. And they have stuff that I do wish they would add to other games, like Destiny, like a training mode and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you can put bots in there and practice, which I think is sorely needed in games like that, if a major part of their composition is going to be multiplayer based, because it is just so hard to throw yourself into that stuff without experience, and the longer those games are out, the harder it gets. Like, like, it's like the fighting game thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if I tried to jump back into like Street Fighter today, like, good God, man, the amount of time I would have to put in to win a match, like, I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, just getting your legs back would be impossible. Yeah.
Because that player base is matured, and the people like me who are like, you know, mid-tier interested have all gone by the wayside pretty much. So I think free-to-play can potentially be at least a slight remedy for all that. But that looked interesting. Like, that looked neat. In a very, like, expected way. Just like, oh, this looks like a Halo, but like, that hopefully you guys did a good job.
There's samurai armor in it. What's not to love?
Yeah, and that monetization stuff that they announced was good, relatively speaking, of like, you don't buy fucking booster packs or any of that shit. It's all just season passes that don't expire, which is kind
of
neat.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of that, like, buying those things has kind of definitely fallen more by the wayside for the better. Like, some games still have it. The one that immediately comes to mind is just Apex Legends, because we were just watching Wade play that the other day. And, like, the Battle Royale format kind of lends to that at least a little bit. Give you something for playing bullshit. I don't know if you can even buy that stuff anymore, but I'm glad to see that stuff has generally gone away because it's so stupid bad. Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I like, the two games that I know for sure I'm going to play upon their release for some amount of time were Halo Infinite and fucking that Advance Wars remake.
Yeah.
I was like all
I'm
the
so
way
happy
in is,
for you.
Yeah,
I really it, like honestly
from the
I
jump
didn't sound like
it
because
was,
I'm tired,
yeah,
but
it was like,
I'm honestly happy because you heard like what was it, the Orange Star Nation.
Yeah, right.
Whatever,
I,
just,
right, exactly.
Like 10 steps,
they got
like,
me.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
They got me from the title, the like teaser card that is like a reference that only people who played Advance Wars would. It's like, oh fuck, really? So yeah,
I was so excited to hear that.
Yeah, I'm all in for that shit. Count me. Because
it was
sign me
it
up.
Was that and Metroid Dread mm-hmm. that I have like zero interest in playing.
Yeah.
But I'm super happy that they're going to exist because I know that is going to be a big deal for those franchises because those people have been
woefully
neglected.
Yeah, I agree on Metroid because I don't know if I'll personally end up playing that game or not. But that game looks sharp. Like, it looks well made. Like, it looks really cool.
I like the look. I just know for sure that I could never play it.
Uh-huh.
I tried my hand.
I just don't have those.
Yeah, I'm not big on that formula of game to begin with. And I tried the Metroid 2 remake, which this game seems to be built on the bones of.
Right.
And I was just kind of like, eh. The only Metroid game I've beaten is Fusion.
Okay.
Which is
fair.
Apparently the most linear of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying something about me as a person.
Not that I would really remember at this point anyway, but Brian, did you play both of those Advance Wars games? Because I actually only played two and then played the DS ones. So I never even owned Advance Wars 1. So like I said, not that I would necessarily remember the details of the maps or whatever, but I'm going to go into that game totally fresh, basically, when that remake comes out.
Nobody can prove anything, but I may or may not have played a couple of Advance Wars games on a PSP.
Nice. I mean, that's still
in some way or
that's
another.
Like the best way to emulate those games, probably, honestly, is that they're so tuned to be mobile things in the first place that, like, shit, you might as well put them on a device like
that was one of those ones where, like, I was just telling Brooke about this. It came out when I was in high school, and a whole bunch of people were into it all of a sudden, and I was like, I was into my Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire and stuff at the time, and
she
so I was
just
like ignoring it. And then in college, when I had my PSP and I was looking for stuff, I decided to pick those up, and I loved them. And as soon as I heard that there was another one coming out, I was like, I'm buying that.
My pants are already on the floor.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics for me. Like, I love Final Fantasy Tactics, and if they announced another Tactics game, I would pre-order it right now. I don't even care. I would pre-order it. And I'm the same way with Advance Wars. Like, I would potentially pre-order Advance Wars.
Yeah, I'm very into that. That was even like I said, I'm interested in Halo just because it looks like they're finally doing a good job on Halo, and it's been a while. But that was the one thing that I did like. I was like fist pumpingly excited for. I was like, all right, let's fucking go.
I'm interested in the Halo, but like, and that's one thing I really like about the Xbox All Access is like, I think it's something that I will pick up. And I will play a bit, and I might play the online multiplayer a little bit, but I don't know that I'm excited enough or that I would dive into it enough that, like, if I had to go and pay $60 for it or whatever, that
I would. For sure. And the other thing here, like, let's never assume that there's not a shell game being played necessarily. The other thing to note about Halo is that, like, pretty much everything they showed off this time around about that game was for the multiplayer stuff. And they hadn't talked about that before, so
that
I guess it's
true.
Good that they got that information out there, and it looks well made, which is also good. But back last year when they showed some of the like how the single player stuff would work in that game, that was the thing that really disappointed people, and ultimately got it delayed a year. So has that stuff improved? I hope so, but I guess we won't know until they like tell
is
us more or release it.
Is that the part of the game
or
that's going to continually make them money?
Well, yeah, there's that too. And the fact that they're even spinning it up into, like, it looks like it'll be two executables. Yeah, like you go and download Halo Multiplayer free-to-play, the app, and then if you want to pay $60,
Halo
you can go...
Halo Multiplayer, the app, the free, the game? Oh my
That's
God.
That's right. You want to pay $60, you can go
oh my God.
Buy HaloCampaign.exe or whatever.
Oh.
So we'll see on that front for sure, but...
yeah.
Cat's gonna scream. But yeah, so there's all that stuff. And then,
yeah, I was excited about some of the various mechanics that they showed off for the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was like, I don't even know if I would play the single player campaign, but especially because I don't like play Destiny and stuff like that right now. I'm not really playing a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see myself hopping into that and just playing a couple rounds every now and then.
Right, and again, now you have the freedom to. You can just go download it and fuck with it a little bit, and then, you know, ignore it until the next time you get the urge, which is really awesome. I'm way into it.
That's the other place that Xbox really, like, I mean, I don't know exactly what Sony's offering is at this time, you know, for the same thing, but from what I've seen from the Xbox All Access Pass, I was just like, you know what? You know, at the age I am, with the amount of time I have for games and, like, keeping track of when stuff comes out and what I want to play and all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I am happy to just give them some money and for them to be like, you don't have to buy a game for the next 2 years.
Yeah, right. It's really something. Because almost everything with, like...
It's a good value.
With a few of those third-party exceptions that they featured, almost every single thing that they showed is... Day one Game Pass,
right?
Like, you just pay for the subscription and you get all the stuff that you can play at your leisure. It's really wild.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, they are really going for it in terms of their paid services or whatever. Because yeah, there is no, and again, maybe Sony will try to cut deals and do a similar thing at some point. But there's no PlayStation equivalent for that right
nope.
now. It's still just a couple of free things on PSN if you pay for the PS Plus
right.
or whatever, and then it's still good, but it's not the same thing.
No.
It's not the same thing as getting, like, 20 brand new games for $15 a month. Or
yeah,
whatever.
For nothing.
Yeah, yeah, like, here's 100 and some odd games. Like, just go pick one.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're really going for it.
I still love Sony and stuff, but, like, when I thought about most of the exclusives that I could honestly see myself sitting down and spending the time and playing, it was like The Last of Us... and like Final Fantasy, and at least the problem with Final Fantasy is
that there's more than one.
They've
problem.
Eventually been coming out on Xbox. They're just like a year behind. I'm like, can I wait a year? Probably, because it's been a year since the other one came out, and I haven't had time to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out on Xbox in a few days or whatever. So,
and for 7, is that true, or for other?
Yeah, for the 7 remake, or it actually might be out already. I forget.
Okay,
I saw that it was like June 16th or July 16th.
I was gonna make a prediction on that, but if it's already coming out, then my prediction is worthless.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw the thing because it was originally like a 1 year exclusive, and then
uh-huh.
like Sony cut some deal, and it became like 1 year and 6 months. So I'm like, okay, can I wait a year and 6 months to be able to play it on here? Like, my lord, what could I do in a year and 6 months?
And then the pandemic happened.
Play the one or two other games I'll have time for.
Right, 100%. Yeah, huh.
I might be finished with Elden Ring by then.
Okay, yeah, there's a quick Google. There's not a date, but it does appear that it is definitely going to be on Xbox at some point in the near future. So.
I think Kingdom Hearts is on Xbox.
Sure. That game launched both.
Yeah.
Like, there was no exclusivity on Kingdom Hearts. It just came out on both platforms. But
Yeah,
so that's a thing. But otherwise, Brian, like I said, was there anything else that caught your eye to a slightly lesser degree?
I have a few more.
Yeah, keep going. Give me what you got.
One of them that really caught my eye as an Xbox / PC exclusive, which as far as I know right now,
uh-huh.
Which again is just another reason, like, I originally thought, oh, why would I buy an Xbox if I can play it on my PC? you know, for most of their exclusives.
Uh-huh.
Well, especially in the last year or two, I'm kind of like, how powerful of a PC do I need? Because I literally sit here and work now, and like, that's it. I haven't played a game on my PC in months, maybe even like almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was Fallout 4 last March. That's what I played. But Stalker 2. I know you've probably heard me talk about that in the past, but yeah. I love the Stalker series, and it's coming out on Xbox and PC. And I'm like, would I like to play it on PC? Yes. But if my PC's not good enough, I know this Xbox is going to be.
You got a backup plan. Uh-huh.
Exactly. And I'm really excited about what that one's going to be. And it's probably like me and like 100 other people, but
yeah, I wonder. Even the Metro games, I feel like, are not like enormous, but I do feel like they engender like a wider fan base than the Stalker games, because those games never really made it. Like, they never did like a big push to port those outside of the PC realm, right? So they were really primarily consumed by, you know, a fairly small audience of hardcore PC folks in the like mid 2000s or whatever.
Well, and Stalker, like, if I would make a comparison, you know, like, Stalker to Metro is like Fallout to a game like Outer Worlds. Like,
okay, yeah.
Metro is just so much more, like, linear in the way that you approach it and you go through the story. And, I mean, I love the Metro games. I listened to the book.
Sure.
Like, that's how much I enjoyed the Metro games, and I wanted that. That, like, dystopian, dingy Russian experience.
Don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah, and the other thing about those games, too, is that, like, the difference between Metro, other than the thing you just said, the difference between Metro and Stalker, in my mind, is just that Metro was, like, it was the thing that came later and got a much more real marketing push. Like, those Stalker games were coming hot out of Eastern Europe based on word of mouth, basically. Like, I wouldn't call those I wouldn't call those games with like marketing money behind them, but like, those Metro releases have been on like, you know, they made it into trailer compilations at E3 since they've been coming out, basically, so they've certainly had the opportunity to grow more for that reason as well.
Well, and they like remastered it and stuff, but I mean, like, I think the Metro games too, they lended themselves a bit better to like a console interface and stuff, because like, you can play a Metro game and, you know, in the way that you can play, like, a BioShock game. Like,
sure.
Like, you're not carrying around, you know, 18 different weapons and 4 sets of armor and things like that. Whereas Stalker, in some ways, almost had, like, you know, a Diablo-esque inventory management system. You're like, I got to have my bandages and my my booze, and I got to have all these little artifacts that I went into these, you know, hazardous environments to pick up, and they give me little powers, and I gotta get my armor and my 6 different weapons and 8 different kinds of ammunition. And
yeah, you're not wrong.
Thanks, I hate that's it.
Right? Yeah.
Backpack manager.
Uh huh. For sure. Speaking Backpack of hero. Speaking of Diablo, since you threw it out there, I will say that like, I had real. I don't know if it's enough to like to dive deep into it, but I had a real dopamine hit of like pure nostalgia from the Diablo 2 remake trailer. Of just like, it was just so wild to see like when you see remakes of like truly 3D things in 3D, and it's just like the textures are better and the like the lighting's different. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But to see that game truly remastered in 3D from the like isometric like late PC sprite work or whatever, of, you know, 1990, you know, whatever it was, 1999 to 2001, I'm going to say, is roughly when Diablo 2 came out, but,
yeah.
But, like, it was just bizarre to see places that I was familiar with in that game so dedicatedly rendered in, like, full 3D with real lighting and shit. It was just kind of crazy.
I will say that I'm really glad they're doing it, because I do love the Diablo franchise and everything. But at the same time, I'm just like, I can't. I don't know that I don't think I can. I'm glad they did it, but I know how much time I spent playing Diablo 2.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
And I know how much time I spent playing Diablo 3. And at this point, I'm just like, I'm waiting for Diablo 4. Like, I'm so glad you did it, but I don't know that I'm going to play.
Yeah, that was, man, what a time slip game. Because I wasn't nearly, like, out of all of us, like, all the people we were hanging out with at the time, I was probably the person who was least into that game, and I still must have played it for, like, 40 hours at least. And Adam probably played it for, like, 10 times that amount.
I've got hundreds of hours into Diablo 2 and 3. Like, for me, and see, this is the problem, is, like, especially if you look at, like, Diablo 3, okay? You spend all this time getting yourself up to what I would call, like, the end game gear.
Mm-hmm.
And you finally feel successful and stuff, and then it's like you're doing these rift dives, and you're like, after you do these rifts for a few weeks, you're like, I know I'm, like, you know, months behind whoever's at the head of this, like, whoever the top player is right now. But then it's like, what am I really doing this rift dive for? It's like, I'm doing it so that I can have a chance to get a ring that might be like 0.1% better than the exact ring I have now. And the reason I'm doing it is because my ring isn't optimal. And there's only so many times I can do that before I'm just like, fuck this ring.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I haven't gotten this ring in like 80 dives, and it's just a bunch of bullshit.
And that's still, you know, for better or worse, I mean, let's be real, probably for worse. That is still the model of loot games to this day. Mm-hmm. Like that's what, that's Destiny right now. And, you know, there are many things about Destiny that I really love, but the amount of grind that they expect you to put up with for very marginal improvements is a little excessive.
That's just one of the things that eventually pushed me out of Destiny. Was just like, how many of these expansions am I going to spend catching up on? And then I get there and
we had that
time for a new one.
Yeah. The last time we had a Destiny conversation on here, it was that was a big part of it, was just that, like, it's not only that the grinds are pretty excessive a lot of the time, but it's that they absolutely tune them to the people who are putting in like 10 hours a week minimum into that game. And that just leaves people who don't do that even further so far behind that it's just like, I just wish that they would adjust things better to accommodate a wider base of player interest, but, you know.
And I mean, I understand it, because, like, if I was a hardcore player of a game, you know, do I want, you know, 4 months, 8 months between my content drops?
Sure.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just know at the point I'm at in my life, like, I'm not a hardcore player of any game, and that's one thing I really appreciate now more than ever about, like, more narrative driven games, or, like, you know even something like Halo, where it's just like, oh, it's just like it's an online, you know, arena thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you didn't have to build up gear to go
raid
or something to learn mechanics.
Battle rifle. Sniper rifle, it does what it does, you know?
Because the thing about, like, the like, 10-plus-hour people in Destiny, they're going to play that much anyway, regardless of whether or not there's that longer, like, carry on a stick but it's ostracizing, like, so many other people. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, that's always been my argument too, is that, like, those people are in because they're in. Yeah. They're not in because you're turning the screw, you know? That's just not quite what's happening. But
Well, anyway. Like, when I found Destiny, because I think the one of the last times I played was when we found out, like not the next content drop, but, like, starting with the one after that, content was going to phase out. And I was thinking, like, oh, wonderful, like, there's quests and things I'm potentially working on now that I might have to wait like 8 months for this planet to come back so that I can get this stupid gun I was working on
still not back.
So, I mean, like that kind of stuff added to it for me.
Sure. It's a hell of a thing.
Decluttered some menus.
Right. Kicking back to a couple more things before we tidy this up here. Now I've just got kind of, like, honorable mentions of things that, like, not even things I'm necessarily interested in playing, but just things I thought were interesting for good or for bad. I thought that the the Kazuya trailer for Smash Brothers was excellent.
It was just funny.
Very funny piece of, like...
It was funny.
Of just him throwing every single person to the volcano. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. Like, I'm not personally aching for...
I still don't think I play it, but...
Yeah, right. At this point, I really like Ultimate, but I'm not aching. Like, there's just so many characters in that game that for any of them to, like, pierce the veil of, like, my interest.
It was Sephiroth. That was the only one. That was the last thing that we did in Smash Brothers.
Like, you have to have a really good, really out there character drop for me to take notice as someone who's not playing Smash Brothers on the regular.
Yeah.
And another fighting game dude is not quite doing it for me personally. But that trailer was very funny, so I'll give him that.
Well, that's like... I mean, it's like what you were saying about, like, Street Fighter earlier, at least for me. It's like anybody that I'm going to play Smash with is probably leagues better than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect. But at the same time, it's kind of like I don't have anybody that I play Smash with on the regular, and I don't want to play it online with randos.
Sure.
So.
Which is its whole thing. And also the online is still kind of bad. And yeah.
Hooray.
There was also the last thing I had from that Nintendo thing was that, and I realized finally, like, it took me like a week probably to realize why this upset me so much, but they announced that other Game & Watch thing, like the physical Game & Watch that has those three Zelda games on it. And, like, in a vacuum, I'm not even, like, opposed to them doing, like, those little one-off products for just people who want them. The thing that I think upsets me about it the most is that, like, you guys could make, like, a nice, well-designed...
No.
Product with a good form factor that would, like, easily fit in your pocket and shit and not be ugly as fuck.
No.
That has
like
these games
Game Boy.
On it. Right, like a fucking Game Boy. But instead, you have smeared two different non-related nostalgia things together. So instead of doing that, you put the hideous, like, Tiger Electronics equivalent Game & Watch, like, mechanics and wrapped them around... like three unrelated Zelda games. Just like, why does it look like a Game & Watch when Game & Watches are terrible?
they re-released the SP.
They made one for the Mario stuff, right?
Yeah, and it was the same thing. It was
that
a red version
more
of that.
Sense because there were Mario Game & Watches. I don't think there were Zelda Game & Watches. So this is just building off of that in a dumb way.
Mm-hmm.
But also the... Because it's, what, 25 or is it 30 for Zelda? Is it 30?
Oh, the anniversary?
I think it's 30.
No, it's 35.
Because
Zelda is as old as me if you count the U.S. release, or 1 year older than me if you count the Japanese release.
Because, like, they'll bring out the bells and whistles for, like, Mario's 22nd or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they went so far out of the way to saying, we're not doing any game. It's this. It's like, oh, cool. Neat.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just even wish if it was just the same product at the same price, but it was just shaped like a Game Boy or just shaped like not a thing as old, but just a piece of electronic hardware that is nicer than
Game Boy Micro.
A fucking Game & Watch, right? Like, I would be much more down with it, but just like, why did you make... Game & Watches are bad. It's like people don't pull out their Tiger football machines for a reason. It's because they were shit.
Maybe you don't.
God. Anyway. Brian, did you have anything else that you wanted to shout out that just kind of like we're thinking about?
I'm digging the look of Redfall.
I was going to mention that. Yeah, that game is... And that was a non-gameplay trailer, but that is one that I'll give a 10 of a benefit.
Name's stupid.
The name is real bad. Like, that name
is
non-descriptive and means nothing. Like, I'll give you that.
It just looks like Left 4 Dead with vampires to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that because I haven't played Left 4 Dead in, like, 10 years.
Yeah, and those, the abilities that they showed in the trailer looked real, like the characters all looked cool and well defined, like in terms of their power sets and stuff. And I trust those guys to make because that's the Prey people, I think.
I think so.
Like, I trust those dudes to make a thing that's at least interesting. Like, I didn't personally I liked watching you play some Prey more than I think I would have wanted to play Prey myself. But I was
I did not want to play that.
Still interested in that game. Like, I still respect what they did with it.
Not for me. Too spooky.
So I definitely am down for whatever they're trying to do with this thing. But yeah, it looks real cool, theoretically, so I hope. I totally agree. That was one of those like non-gameplay things. So I was like, yeah, I'll give this the benefit of the doubt. I will cross my fingers that this will be good. But that was a cool-looking trailer. If I could put... when that lady put the psychic bullets in the gun with her mind and then fired purple psychic bullets, I was like, all right, that seems pretty cool.
Dustin loading last word.
That's right. Something like that. In the same vein, that trailer for a game called Atomic Heart, which I had to re-look up. It was a similar thing. It was a slightly less elaborate trailer, but was basically like a minute of like first-person cyberpunk anime nonsense. Like, it was just literally like
was the fever dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, okay. Crash chest dummies with no faces who want to kill you and holding out your hand so a robot spider can come out of it and hack a terminal and like,
fantastic.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, robot stuff is weird and scary, and then
love to see it.
And then cut to non-release date basically, but
delightful.
But that is another sharp looking thing that like, it reminded me of hopefully for better than, God, I can't even remember it now. Lorraine, do you remember the name of that game everybody was equating to Bioshock? It had a really sharp, like, couple of trailers, and then when it came out, it was just a fucking shitty survival game.
We Happy Few?
Yeah, that's the one. Like, that, they gave me some of those vibes. Like, a much less narrative thing, because that game appeared, like... That game gave the facade of having, like, a story, and
yeah, no shit.
My understanding, it kind of didn't. But, and this one is a little less that, and just a little more, like, mood setting of, like, oh, this is creepy and weird.
Same.
But also, maybe it's a non-game nothing. Like at least with that Redfall trailer, you can tell, like, you can see the gameplay that they're trying to go for, whether they hit or not, based on what they featured in the trailer, and this Atomic Heart thing. And ultimately, what We Happy Few ended up being was, like... they were completely non-related to whatever you do in that game moment to moment. Yeah, man, what a disappointment that game was. But it was another thing that at least like caught my attention, is like, oh, that's, you know, I like spooky shit. That looks pretty spooky. Let's see. There's that Ubisoft announced they're making a big budget Avatar game. Avatar as in the blue cat people, as in like The Last Airbender. Which, you know, I suspect that that product will lose a lot of money. But I can't say for certain until that other movie comes out, I guess.
I hope they don't spend as much on that as they did making the first movie.
My gut instinct is that movie the first Avatar sequel that comes out in theaters is going to super underperform, and that none of its like related co-marketing products that like are going to do anything. like I wouldn't be surprised if sales of Mountain Dew went down slightly if they had Avatar shit splattered all over them for the period of that film's release. But
I don't dislike Avatar. I thought the movie was fine.
I'm not
interested in diving into the universe and playing a game.
I'm exactly there with you. And the thing for me is like, when we went to Disney World that last time before the pandemic started, we went to the Avatar area, and that was a really cool space. Like, it was a really nice addition to Animal Kingdom. It was just a really nice place to be in. I perfectly enjoyed my time while we were there. That restaurant had the best food we probably ate that weekend. Correct. Or that week. And then we went back to the hotel room and we put Avatar, the movie, on, and I hadn't seen it in probably since it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. And it is so long and so boring. And like, I don't hate it. Like, I'm not mad at it, but I am like, I'm to some degree personally exasperated by it. It was like by the 2 hour mark, I was just like, why isn't this over? Why is it still going?
It was an experience for what it was when it came out, being like one of the first, like, quote unquote, good 3D movies.
And I remember really enjoying my experience in the theater while seeing it. Like, the 3D stuff was like, they did a good job of it. Like, of any of those movies that came out in 3D, that was probably the best one that they made.
I think they've gotten better now, but at the time, it was definitely the best one.
But yeah, in terms of like, I truly don't think I don't think there is any lightning left to capture in a bottle for Avatar as like a franchise that will make much money.
If anything, I think that they waited too long.
Yeah, right, 100%. Even if they had capitalized on it and put, like, and that stuff had come out a few years after that original movie, but, like, we're gonna be past a decade, like, since the last one came out, and you're gonna expect people to just be psyched about Avatar stuff? Oh. You know, I'm sure Disney will do their goddamnedest, because they own it outright at this point. Like, they'll try to make it a thing, but I kind of don't think that they'll succeed.
I just had to look that up. Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Waited too long.
Just a bit.
And then the last thing I was going to throw out there was, and then after this I'll let either you guys close out with any closing thoughts, was that that Guardians of the Galaxy game looks like, I understand what they're trying to do with it, but I am personally not interested. Like, that was my take on that whole thing. It's just like, I see what you're going for. Like, you're trying to make the movie, but you interact with it, and that's fine. But I don't know. That didn't light my fire.
You know what I don't like?
Go on.
Like, at this point, okay, you've had two movies, and they made him look so different from Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why couldn't you just use him? Like, he's Star-Lord at this point. I haven't read a single Guardians of the Galaxy comic, if they have them, I don't know, in my life. But I've seen both the movies and enjoyed them both. Like, what are you capitalizing on?
Name.
Right, and that's like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm sure they just don't want to pay for the likeness rights or whatever. Yeah. But my criticism was similar and, like, in the opposite direction, because here's how my thoughts have evolved in this whole thing, and this is since they, like, put out, because this is a Square thing, this is since they put out that Avengers game that, like, that people don't seem to really like, because it seems like kind of a bad, grindy loot game.
Good.
But for, like, they're doing, for them to do, I think it's totally the wrong tree to bark up to do photorealistic versions of these characters, period, if they're not going to get the original ones. I would like them to just do an art style.
Yeah.
Like, comic books have looked so many different ways. Like, there's so many artists that do like, unique and interesting work in the world of comics. Just hire somebody from that realm out to, like, make you some concept art and then build a 3D game based on that.
I'm with you.
Especially since, like, the other thing about this is that, like, when you think of the of those movies and how movies are made these days, like, Robert Downey Jr. and whatever, they basically live in video game environments at this point. Like, the assets that make up modern Hollywood movies are still just 3D models that are really well rendered. Like, they're just the same assets that go into video games. So when you, when you, like, you are so, without stylizing it in the way that, like, you can easily more get away with in a video game sense, because you don't have to put, like, a real human in front of, like, a totally cartoonized world, like, you can just, like, you can pull that parallel even further away, where people won't hold one up to the other and be like, but it's not quite like the thing I want. Like, I just feel like it would be easier to say, no, this is its own thing, that, like, it's got elements of the thing you want. Like, we'll still do the pop songs and whatever, but, like, but it is not a, like, it is not, it would come across less as a deficient version of the thing you already like.
Yeah.
Knock off.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that was kind of my last point of interest for... So if you've got anything else you want to throw out there, if Lorraine has any closing thoughts about anything, we can get those in, and then we'll call it a show.
I've never had a thought before in my life. None at all.
Hold Lorraine.
Head full of clay.
Yeah, anything else, Brian, you want to get off your chest anyway before we wrap this up?
Let's see. I'm just trying to think if I'm forgetting any...
Big stuff.
I saw... There was this, I'm trying to find the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
There was this game called Pragmata. That looks kind of cool.
Okay. What's it about? That actually doesn't ring a bell for me. I might not have caught that.
You're like New York, and you're like some kind of spacesuit wearing dude.
Okay.
It's like holographic cats and robots and stuff. It's kind of, I think it's sort of like a weird, like, Death Stranding kind of game.
Okay.
That one, I think that one's not due out till like 2023 or something. And then there's the Avowed. That's another Obsidian One, and I think that's going to be an Xbox exclusive or something, because it's Obsidian and Xbox Studios, but it's some Game Pass game, and it looks a whole lot like a new Skyrim.
Yeah, okay.
So I could see, especially it being a Game Pass game, I could totally see playing that for a bit.
Yeah, why not, right? Shit, that's the whole pitch. Like, yeah, I will try any of these things out for an hour because I can, because there's no cost to do exactly. So. Yeah, for sure.
Right, already paid for it.
That sounds, yeah, I had seen that trailer for that for Progmata. I had to look it back up, but yeah, okay, I could be down with that. Lorraine, anything else in the world of video games or otherwise that you want to leave us with before we wrap this up?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, head empty, no thoughts.
Okay, fair enough. You know, it's still an adjustment, but we're all slowly but surely. I'm at this point, I should stop myself from even saying getting back to normal and just saying, like, transitioning to something new. Something
segwaying,
yeah,
if you will.
Segwaying to something that is, you know, may not have been exactly the way things were before, but the, and that could be for the better. We'll have to find out. Like,
yeah, people keep talking about, like, going back to normal. Like, I hear it all the time from, like, our presenters and the guests at work, and it's just like, I don't, that normal doesn't exist anymore. Like, it really doesn't. Like, the pandemic changed a lot of things, and changed a lot of things about, like, how people perceive them and whatever. Like, I'm not gonna be the same. Like, I'm not gonna feel comfortable in, like, very crowded spaces, very tight spaces. Like, I hear someone sneeze or cough and I get on edge. Like, this is not, like, I jokingly call it the before times, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like,
no, you're not wrong.
This isn't the same.
Yeah.
It can't be the same.
I've thought about this a lot in terms of both, like, for, like, primarily, like, well, not even primarily, but, like, you know, most acutely for people who were directly affected, like, if you lost one or more loved ones.
Yeah.
Or friends or family, whatever
it was.
Or
we're just, like, in somewhere in the medical field having to deal with, like, sure.
Retail and just having to show up to work every day and come back with the knowledge that maybe I caught a disease that will
severely hurt me or kill me.
Yeah.
Right. I'll know in 2 weeks.
Yeah right, 100%. Like, all that stuff, like, it'll be felt more, like I said, more acutely in some communities than others. But I do think that that people who are alive right now, who are, you know, young enough that they'll be around for a bit yet, and old enough to where they'll actually remember this, I think there will be, like, a marker psychologically across a wide swath of people that just happened to have lived within this time. That is, like, you know, it'll be, like, the people who lived through World War One and World War II, or, like,
came home
from Vietnam or whatever. It's,
along with everything else that was but the build-up to and kind of just horrible festering wound that was just the year of 2020 as a whole. Like, I'd say it's equivalent to our Great Depression, or, like, the economic collapse of, like, the housing market or whatever in 2008, which we got
it's caused me great
to. Yeah.
Right.
My big sad. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
analyzing these few years for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I think masks are the new fall fashion. I don't think I will have fall for a long time, or a winter where I'm not wearing masks to the store.
Yeah, I'm wearing masks at work still. Like, I'm fully vaccinated, and they, like, for a handful of weeks now, they're like, hey, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And it's just that.
Bam.
I don't remember if I had sent this to our group chat or not, but just the, like, Captain America at the end of Endgame, just like, no, don't think I will.
Yeah.
And he's got the mask on his face. Uh-huh. Just like, I mean, it's the same with everyone else, like, our employee wise in the shop, except, I mean, the presenters or whatever, but all of us, we're masked all the time. Like, and the public is here, like, once we close or before we open, generally we're not wearing masks. It's literally just, like, the three or four of us in the shop, and we all know we're vaccinated. Like, we can trust this group of people.
Yeah, that's where I'm, like, I will not mask around my immediate family and stuff, but anytime I go to anywhere where, like, strangers are, like, I don't trust any of you.
But it's also, like, Dustin has said this too, like, if the employees are masked, I'm going to be masked. Like, that's just a courtesy mm-hmm. at that point. Like,
yeah, like I said, even
if
you...
I don't want to make people have to guess. Like, I don't want to be a stressor to other people when I'm already very stressed. Like, yeah, if I can alleviate a little bit of that.
And even if you were to assume that, like, all right, I'm vaccinated. I'm going to say I have 100% certainty of being okay. I don't care. I would still do it in situations like that. Just because it's nice to have solidarity with people who don't have a choice, just in terms of just like a social thing that they can't not do.
Yeah, there's
like
still
in the
people
same...
who just right. who, not that they could they didn't get vaccinated, that they couldn't get vaccinated. Well, those people are still out
sure,
there.
Sure, but I even just mean in terms of like places of employment who just will require right. employees to wear
think,
a mask
honestly,
regardless.
I
it's
think,
just a nice thing to you know to say like, hey, I'm not better than you.
I think restrictions got lifted like yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got an email up
June 20th.
Yeah, from like the top or whatever. It's like, oh, we don't have to do the like the mobile check-in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like starting tomorrow or whatever. Like we've had to do that. Like, oh yeah, like I this like the self-test, I guess you would call it. It's like I don't have a fever. I don't have any of these symptoms. Which I mean, I've been doing since I came back last September. Like,
my brother's work is doing that too.
Yeah, we
like
don't
getting
we
rid
don't
of it.
We mm-hmm. don't have to do it anymore is the thing. We got the email today saying that we're
right.
We're done with that.
But yeah, for it's just, you know, it's a work in progress. Things are going to be different still. And at least, again, at least right now, it looks like the trend is upward. So hopefully that will continue. But
I hope so.
Yeah,
there's that Delta variant or whatever that's apparently been... There have been reported cases in Michigan, so that's cool, you know?
That's where I'm at is like... I'm really glad to see that. I don't know if it's been every day recently, but at least like a day or two ago, we were out of the triple digits of like new cases.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 91 or something like that. But the variants are just one of the reasons I'm not taking my mask off anytime soon. Cause I'm waiting for like, oh, everybody started taking their masks off, and 4 weeks later, these variants are going nuts.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm glad
it's
I was wearing my mask that whole time.
It's still just worth noting that, like, for his, like, and I still feel like, I don't know if it's uniquely American or if, like, if it has permeated the whole world. You know, I can only describe my own world, like, my own lived experience, but, like, it does feel like we're back to the old, like, well, what bad could happen at this point? When like
a
as it right as it continues to circulate, especially in the widely unvaccinated populations of the world, anything could happen. We're literally just rolling the dice. Like,
yeah.
Like maybe it will never mutate. Maybe it will never mutate to be significantly able to overcome current vaccinations, or maybe it will. But we'll only find out as the pandemic rages on. So
I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, nope. But anyway, so yeah, it's
got enough problems.
It was nice to talk to you, Brian. I was glad to have it was fun to have another
of course.
Another very video game centric conversation for a little bit because we haven't done those in a while. It's been been a lot of emotional weightlifting in the podcast realm for the last year, which I think has been a good thing, but like I said,
I'm one of the more like video game light guests you usually have, so go me.
Yeah, but
way to go. Way to step it up.
It's nice to talk to you. Nice to have a conversation with games. It's good to look forward to stuff that is like, you know, on the horizon, and there is no shame in and having apprehension about like in you know whatever it takes to get you through the day. Still, keep
right.
do that. don't feel bad about adjusting too quickly within the realm of like you know. What we have decided is okay if that's how you're feeling, and don't feel ashamed in the slightest to lag behind if that's like where your head and your heart are at. Like that's totally fine. Just you know, still be responsible. Still,
just be fucking cool, man.
Be fucking cool, man.
Like damn.
And with that, I think we'll call it a show. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and talking about stuff.
Wow.
Thank you, Brian. It's been too long. I'm glad we got to sit down and chat for a little bit.
We'll do. Soon.
Yeah, and until next time, we will see you later, Internet.